here this morning. It's great to see such a good crowd. I was a little under the weather Wednesday, and Jonathan filled in for me. I made the mistake last Tuesday evening of saying that I hadn't even had a cold this winter, and I woke up Wednesday morning sick. So that's what I get, and that's usually the way it works out for some reason. But I'm thankful to be back here this morning to be able to speak to you. We're going to go back to our series of lessons about how our country is upside down. We took a break a couple weeks ago. We took a break to talk about something a little more encouraging. And hopefully today, at least most of today's sermon, will be encouraging. But we do live in an upside down world. Just last night, my wife was on the phone with her mother, and I overheard her mother saying, "This world has gone crazy." And I suppose that is correct, or it sure does seem like it. We've based this series of lessons in Isaiah chapter 5, where the Bible says, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil." And brethren, most definitely, that is the way things are going. We've talked about abortion. We've talked about homosexuality. We've talked about pedophilia and human trafficking and all those horrible things that are going on. And we've talked about the church. It is our responsibility to stand up against these things. Things that people think are normal today and things that our kids are seeing, if we don't tell them any different, if we don't try to instruct them in the ways of the Bible, they are going to simply think that's the normal. And all of these things are just simply okay because, again, that's what society does. But as I introduce this lesson today, I want to talk about my personal life just a little bit. It's been a little over 3 months since my dad passed away, and just week before last, a guy had a conversation with me, and I want to share that conversation. I had a guy come and change some tires on a piece of equipment out in the woods, and he was talking about my father, and he says, "You know, At first I didn't think your dad liked me." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I didn't think he liked me." But he said, "Then when he figured out I would work, he liked me." And if there was anything that described my dad, that was it. He had no tolerance for laziness. No tolerance at all. And that included my backside a lot of times as I was growing up. But my dad was a worker. And he'd always worked. In fact, just this past week, he had a favorite machine. He bought that machine new, 84. And I went out to his house, and I got that machine, and I brought it home. I've been working on it for weeks. Got everything fixed just like I wanted it, and I took it to work with me this past Monday. And I took this picture, and I sent it to my mother. And of course, she cried, and that's okay. But as I think about this picture, my dad put me on that machine when I was 9 years old. And he made me work this machine as we logged together, and I pulled my own cable. I did all of those things. By the time I was 12, he had a chainsaw in my hand, and he always made me work. When all of my friends were going to do all of these other things when we were out of school, it's not me. I even got in trouble on occasion at school because I would be picked up from school early to go home and work. But you see, that's how he was raised. These are pictures of my grandfather. And these pictures are probably 60, 65 years old. I don't know. But my grandfather did the same thing too. And my grandfather's told me so many stories about how he had to work hard. And he and my grandmother, they had 14 children. And my grandmother would tell me she had to get up every morning and cook 80 homemade biscuits in order to feed all of those children. And my grandfather would tell me he would have to travel and he would work long days and how that the kids, he said, I would make them go out on the ridge and carry sticks of firewood back to the house. You're talking about a half mile walk. And their job was to go put a stick of firewood on each shoulder and carry it to the house, but the point is, they worked. You know, and I understand last week, Brother Don, I'm going to accuse him of trying to steal my sermon. He talked about this a little bit in Bible class about work, but not all of us were in here. You see, we live in a society today that people don't want to work. We live in a society where it's almost a dirty word, and people are looking for any excuse that they can get or can come up with to get out of work. And brethren, I'm afraid that that's going to be the downfall of our country, among other things. But all of you in here that are older, you could stand up and you could tell stories about how people had to work. If you were going to provide for your family, if you were going to eat, you had to work. You did not get a handout, but yet we live in the land of entitlements. And man, I could stand up here and I could go on a rant and I could talk about this the rest of the day. How horrible it is, because brethren, it is. But I don't want to do that. But you see, the problem is we live in a country that is focused on me. We live in a country where people always have their hand out and they want something for nothing. Do we realize that? Do we understand that? Do you realize that I know multitudes of people that are more able to work than me, that go to the mailbox and get their living out of the mailbox? Do you understand that? That's where we live. Do you know, I hired a young man one time about a year ago, and he begged for a job, and I finally hired him, and I said, okay, you got to be here every day if you're going to keep this job. Oh, yeah, I need to work, okay. Well, the first 10 days, he missed 3 days. And the last day he was there, he was, I don't know, several hours late, and he finally come in, and I fired him. Oh, man, I need this job. I said, I told you, if you're going to work here, you have to work. And he said, all right. He went home. A couple hours later, he called me. He said, would you sign my paper so I can sign up for benefits showing that I tried to get a job? You got the wrong guy, buddy. I'm not signing your papers. I offered you a job. You could work. But he wouldn't work. We've got people in positions today at jobs, and they have a job. But it won't work. I've got a friend, and this friend, he took a job at a place, and when he took the job, I told him, I said, man, you're too hard a worker to work there. I said, you're going to be miserable. I'm going to try it. He went into that job, and he come back, told me about a week later, he said, they won't let me work. He said, my supervisor told me, we work about one day a week, and we recuperate for the other four. I thought, isn't that a sad commentary on our life, on our society today? Before I moved here, I knew where a hiding place was, that crews of people would go, and I have seen them literally sit for 4 or 5 hours during the day in the vehicle with it running, crews of people hiding because they didn't want to work. They simply wanted to draw a check. We live in a country where people want to make $100,000 a year to do $10 an hour worth of work, and that's the problem. Do you realize that the Bible has a lot to say about work? And maybe this sermon today is going to be a little bit unconventional because we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. And I'm just going to touch the hem of the garment of how much the Bible has to say about work. You see, my goal is to encourage, especially those of you that are younger, to realize work is not a dirty word. Work is not something that we try to avoid at all costs. Work is good. But you see, most people don't see that, or at least a lot of people don't see that. A lot of people see work is a curse because, after all, when sin entered the world, that's what God said, right? That's what God said. You know, now the world is going to bring forth thorns and thistles and all of these things, and you're going to have to work by the sweat of thy face. You're going to have to work hard, so people think, well, that's my punishment. So when people today go look at a job, one of their first questions is, how much time do I get off? How long do I have to work? You know, all of these other questions, and they don't understand because they look at work in the wrong way. You see, there's some verses that are very familiar to us when it comes to work in the Bible, and maybe this one is the first one you think of. And man, if our country would just operate by this verse, do you realize there would be a great difference in our society today? If a man won't work, neither should he eat. Do you realize that? Do you realize that that is a command of the apostles? And if the apostles gave a command, they have the backing of Jesus. If a man won't work, neither should he eat. Do you realize if we rounded up all the people in our society today that refuse to work, there'd be a lot of starving people, wouldn't there? A lot of starving people. And you say, oh, yeah, but preacher, that you're just being harsh and mean. No, I've been to these third world countries. I've been all around, and I've seen people, they understand in other places, they have to work. Because they understand in order for them to provide, they've got to be able to feed their family that day. When we go over to India and we make those trips and we go through those villages, there's not welfare programs. The government's not handing out money. If you don't go to work that day, you don't bring home a bag of rice for your family. And therefore, you don't eat. And you don't have a bunch of lazy people there. They don't have the issues there. You see, work not working was such a bad thing. That ties back in with our church discipline lesson, where that people were actually disfellowshipped because they refused to work. All they wanted to do was run around and be a busybody and nose around in everybody else's business and cause problems. Because, brethren, idle hands are the devil's handiwork. You've heard that before, right? God expects us to be a busy people. So we know that verse. And I understand that's a negative thing. We know 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, where it talks about if a person won't provide for his own household and his relatives, his family, the Bible said he is worse than an unbeliever. Now, I want to ask you something for a second. If you look at the eternal scheme of things, is there anything any worse? At the end of time, on the day of judgment, do you want to be an unbeliever? No. That's the last thing in the world we want to be, as an unbeliever. But yet the Bible says if we won't work and provide, we are worse than an unbeliever. Well, church, I hope we get that. I hope we understand that. I hope we teach that to our children, that this life is more than just having a good time. Because I'm afraid sometimes that's what we put our focus on. You go to school and you have a big time, and you go off to college and you have a big time, and nobody's ever made to work, and then there comes a time, what am I going to do now? And a lot of people have no idea what to do. They have no work ethic instilled within them, and therefore it's their problem. But see, I want to shift gears. I want to shift gears to the positive side of things. Work is good. Do you realize when it comes to God Almighty, we would all agree God is good, right? God is good, and everything God does is good. One of the first things we find out, or is the first thing we find out about God, is He's at work. And you can go and you can begin reading Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. What is created? It is work. What does God describe His creation as? Look at this. It's the work that He had done. And therefore, if God works, work is good. Work is what He expects of us. In fact, when God looked back upon all of His work, what did He say? I did a good job. What I have done, it is good. And you realize we've got to understand that today. And, you know, again, we go back to this whole idea in Genesis 3 that work is a curse. Do you realize in Genesis 2, before mankind had ever sinned, God ordered Adam to work? He said, I've put you in the garden. You are to keep and cultivate it. What does that mean? Adam had to work before there was ever a curse. Because again, work's not a dirty word. Work is from God. And we need to understand that. Young people, we need to understand that work is a good thing. There's so much benefit in work. In fact, I can find out on several occasions through the Bible, I just chose to pick one, when Moses was given instructions about building the tabernacle and God told him what to do and to prepare all of these things and to put it together. I want you to notice what God said in verse 35 here of Exodus 35. He says, I have filled certain people with abilities to work. He said, I have given people talents to be an engraver, to be a cunning workman, to be an embroiderer, to do all of those different things. God says, I give everybody talents. And we've talked about that, and we apply that to work inside of the church. But I want to apply that to things everywhere. Do you realize God gives every one of us something that we can be good at? And you realize what you do in society is important to society. You know, if we look around this room here, we've got a lot of different people, right? We've got builders. Do we need builders? Oh, yeah, we need places to live. Well, we've got people that sell cars, and we need something to drive, right? And we've got people that are bankers, and most definitely we society needs that, right? We may have doctors and pharmacists and dentists and all of these things. God gives us the ability to do those things, and we need to look at those things as, hey, I'm working for God. And when we get to the end of this lesson, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, how the Bible commands us to go at our job as if we are working for God and not just men. And we'll get to that. But realize that, young people. God has blessed you with something. And you need to figure out what that is, and you need to go after it. And you need to do it. But let's go and let's look. And I just picked some from the book of Proverbs, and you're going to say some. You're going to show a lot of scriptures. I am. But I'm just going to show you a little bit of what the book of Proverbs has to say about work. And I want to again look at it from a positive viewpoint to help us to understand the good that comes out of it. The wise man says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise." He says, "Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Talks about an ant. You ever watched an ant? I used to watch ants when I was little, and you know, I'd play in the ant hills and all of those things. And you ever watched them work? You realize the ant sleeps or hibernates in the winter? And so in order for that ant to survive, that ant has to take advantage of opportunities when they are presented. And that's exactly what God is talking about here. They gather their food in the harvest. When the opportunity presents itself, the ant goes to work. And the ant does everything that they need to do while they are able to work. And then when it is time to sleep, they sleep. And God is telling us as people, we've got to be industrious people. Look at the ant. It is an industrious creature. And look at the example that nature sets forth. We can't be a lazy people. We live in a very lazy society, a very, very lazy society. But yet the Bible condemns that. And he says you can rise above that and you can be better at that. He says you can't lay down and not do anything because, what did he say in verse 11? Because then poverty will come upon you. If you fail to work and provide and do the things you need to do for your family, well, you failed. And you're not going to have the things that you need. We don't want to do that. Proverbs 10, 4 and 5. "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." Pretty much the same principle, right? If we are lazy, we're not going to have anything in this life. And this is the way God has intended it to be. You say, yeah, but being rich is not good. And we should never just strive to be rich. I'm not saying that. But brethren, there is nothing wrong with being successful in life. And we need to teach our young people that. There's nothing wrong with being successful. There's nothing wrong with having possessions. There's nothing wrong with having money. Noah was filthy rich. Abraham was filthy rich. Job was filthy rich. You can go through and you can look at all these Bible characters. But they were diligent. They were workers. They were not slothful. And man, we need to understand that. Proverbs 12, 11. "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." What does that mean? The person that is willing to work when he needs to work, he's going to be okay. But he says the person that is lazy, lackadaisical, and wants to run around and have a big time and not focus on what it is he needs to be doing, he says that person is void of understanding. They don't get it. They don't get how I have set things up, God says. We've got to be better than that. Proverbs 12, 24, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute."
God says if you will work and you will work hard, you will come up in society. You will work and you will be diligent at what you do. He says you can come up and you can be in charge of your own business. And things will be good for you. But if you won't, don't ever expect to get a raise at work. I've talked to people about this before. They say, I don't know why I can't make more money. I don't know why I can't get a promotion. Well, I've had to say before, do you show up to work every day? Do you put in an honest day's work? Do you do what the boss asks you to do? I mean, are you busy when you are at work? Or are you on your phone? Or are you doing something else? And brethren, it's a biblical concept. Don't expect to come up in the world if you're not willing to put forth the effort. If you're not willing to do the work. Our society desperately needs to know that. And needs to understand that. Proverbs 12:27, the slothful man roasteth not what he took in hunting. Well, that's obvious. If you're too lazy to go out and get your food, then you're not going to get to eat your food. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. What about that last part? Do you realize if you will work and you will be diligent to try to earn and make a living for your family, that you can be proud of what you've accomplished? There is just something about making something through your own labor that gives you a peace of mind, is there not? Yeah. And we need to understand that, and again, we need to instill that in people around us. God says it's precious when we do things to accomplish things in life. Proverbs 14:23, I use the ESV version, easier to understand here. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends out to poverty. You ever known someone that talked about working a whole lot and talked about doing things a whole lot, but they never really put forth any action, any effort? We could sum this verse up, a little less talk and a lot more action. That's a Toby Keith song, right? I think that was talking about something else, but we could apply it here. Brethren, that's what God intends for us to do. Proverbs 15, verse 19, the way of the sluggard is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is made a highway. Brethren, people are going to, they're seeing you. The people look at our lives, and when we're lazy people notice that. People notice if they come around, they can tell if you're a worker or if you're not. He says if your place is overgrown and it looks like you never do anything, well, people understand that you're lazy. But he says not the diligent. Not the diligent. Their place is made like a highway. They're willing to work and put forth the effort. Proverbs 16:26, the appetite of a laboring man laboreth for him, for his mouth urgeth him hereto. I know one of the past landowners I was working on about a month ago, he come up and seen us, and it was spitting snow, and it was cold and nasty, and he come up and said, you boys must be hungry, because we were working. I said, no, we just like to work. But you understand what he was trying to say? You got something motivating you to work. And that's exactly what this verse teaches. He says the appetite of the laboring man works for him, because he desires to have something in life, so therefore he's going to put forth the effort to get that which he desires. And again, that is a biblical principle. Proverbs 17:2, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. And he's speaking to a master-slave relationship here. And he's saying if a master has a slave that is willing to work and do everything that he is supposed to do and give an honest day's work, he's going to be looked at favorably over the own son. Because again, hard work is always rewarded. And God tells us that. Proverbs 19:24, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will so not much as bring it to his mouth. Again, Don talked about this verse, about people that are so lazy that they reach out to get a bite of food, but they're just so lazy they can't do it again. They just can't bring themselves to reach out again and do it. And can you imagine someone that is that lazy? You said, no, I don't know anyone that wouldn't reach back out and get it again. Yeah, you do. We all do. We all know people that understand, hey, what does it take to make money and to get food and to provide? They understand that, but they're just too lazy to do it. So therefore, they don't stick their hand back out. They just get hungry. And that is a sad, sad commentary. Proverbs 20, verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Again, same principle. Get to work. Proverbs 21, 25, and 26. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. If a person is too lazy to work, he's going to starve to death. Verse 26, he coveteth greedily all the day long. He wants to have something, but he won't do anything about it. But notice the other man. He says, but the righteous giveth, and he spareth not. A man that is right before God, he works and he has the things that he needs and he has some to spare. He has more in order to give others, and we'll look at a verse in the New Testament about that in a moment. Proverbs 22, 29, do you see a man skillful in his work? The Bible says he will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. If you've got somebody that is good as his job, God says he's going to rise up and he's going to be rewarded for that good work. But again, if the opposite is true, it's not going to be the case. What about the virtuous woman? Proverbs 31. What does the Bible have to say? Or excuse me, this is Proverbs 24. That's the next slide. I'm getting ahead of myself. He says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was overgrown with thorns. And nettles covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. And he says, then I saw and I considered it, and I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Again, the same principle repeated over and over again. He expects us to work and be diligent. Proverbs 27, 3 and 4, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? I know this is a lot of verses, but brethren, we've got to get this through our heads. What is he saying here? Just because you've done well today, just because you've made a living today, you can't stop. If you're going to be the person God wants you to be, and if he's going to be pleased with you, if you're going to continue to provide for your family, you can't just stop because it doesn't endure forever. It doesn't just keep going on. In other words, we've got to continue to be a working people. And again, I hope we get that. Proverbs 31, again, that virtuous woman finally got to the right slide. What's the Bible say about her? We won't take time to read it because her time is drawing nigh. But you know what the Bible says about her. Her candle goeth out, not out, by night. She provides for her family. She provides food. She provides clothes. She does all of these things. She is a working woman. And I want to say something before we go any farther. There's nothing wrong with a working woman that works outside of the home, because this lady, she did some things outside of the home. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not a harder worker in the world than a woman that stays home and takes care of the family. Do we get that? I don't know how many times through the years, you know, people would tell my wife, oh, you don't work? She raised four kids. Did she work? Yeah, all the time. You see, God commands that. And even if you're going to be a homemaker, God expects you to be diligent. Just like this lady. He called this lady virtuous. He said her price, her worth, is far above rubies. And I hope we understand that. And it's because she was not lazy. Paul said in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no longer, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that hath need. Don't you notice how he describes work? He says, don't steal. And brethren, there's a lot more ways of stealing than going and sticking something in your pocket. If we don't give an honest day's work and we get paid for it, we've stolen. We really have stolen. And we need to understand that. But God says, I want you to work. Why? Because it is good. That is what I expect you to do. And when you work, you will have things that you need. But if you work and you're not lazy, you will have things to give to other people. And how many of us would not like to have more things to give to other people? Brethren, we can only be generous when we work. And we have more than what we actually need. How do you think this church operates on the scale that it operates? How do you think we go through all the world and we support all of these things? And you say, well, it's the contribution. But how do we get the contribution? We've got a lot of people that work and work hard, long hours, diligent, and they are willing, just like this verse has, to give to those that have need. Brethren, that is biblical. And this country needs more of that. Today's Bible verse talks about the people there in Thessalonica. And we began when we talked about 2 Thessalonians. And we talked about there were people there that refused to work. And the church was going to withdraw from them. And he said they shouldn't eat. He said he'd given them prior warning. And the prior warning, he says, listen. He says, you got to live a quiet life. You need to mind your own business. And you need to get to work. You need to get to work because then people will see you for what God expects them to see you as. Do we understand that? Our example can bring people to Christ if we are an industrious people. People see that is important to us. And God expects that. We talked about Colossians 3:23 earlier. If you go to your Bibles, and you don't have to do this, but if you went to verse 22, it's talking about, again, that relationship between a slave and master or employee-employer. And he says, don't just do the work to be seen of men. Don't do that. Don't just do it because you're just trying to please the boss when he's around looking. Don't be like that. I remember one time years and years ago, I worked at a place just for a little while, and I can remember that the people at that place, when the boss showed up on the yard, they would run and they would tell everybody. And everybody would get to work. And they would work so much harder. And they didn't like me there very well. Because I didn't wait for the boss to come in order to try to push people to work. And I didn't last very long at that. And that's okay. But you realize that's exactly what these verses are talking about? Don't be like that. Don't put an honest day's work in if the boss is going to be there beside you. But you do put an honest day's work in because the Lord is our master and the Lord is watching us every day. And that's exactly what this verse says. Whatever you do, work heartily. As for the Lord, you pretend like the Lord is the one signing your paycheck and not just the boss. Because ultimately, He is the boss. We need to understand that. Last slide. I want to speak to young people just for a moment. I don't know what you're going to make of your life. I know a lot of you are going to go off to school, and maybe you've got big plans, and maybe you know you want to be this or that, and that's good. And that's right. And God is pleased with that. But here's what advice I want to give you. Same advice that Solomon has given. Whatever thy hands find to do, do it with all thy might. You don't get a second chance at life. We need to understand that. If we're going to do something, if we're going to make something of ourselves, and I understand, and don't misunderstand me, Christianity is more important than all of this. But we cannot be a faithful Christian if we're not a worker. You cannot be a faithful Christian if you're lazy and a sluggard and slothful and all of those things. But God expects us as a people to go at whatever we're doing with all of our might. So if you're going to go out and you're going to get a career, and it doesn't matter what that is, there is nothing that should be beneath us. But whatever you find yourself doing, you realize it is important. And what you do serves a lot of other people. And without all of us working together, society doesn't function. And I hope we understand that. Brethren, I want us to be different. I've used this slide at the end of every one of these lessons. Christians should be the best employees at whatever job they're in. I don't care what the world does. I don't care if those beside you, they try to slack off and they find a place to hide and they don't want to work. I don't care if they want to be on their phones all day and that doesn't matter. You're a Christian. You're different than all of those other people. I want you to stand up and stand out. I want people to look at every one of us and say, I need to be more like them. Not because you think you're better than anybody else, but because you belong to somebody else. Understand that. I know our world's upside down. I know that's not what we see all around us. But brethren, we can be better. We can be and we must be. This morning, my lesson's not been about salvation. Not talked about what it takes to become a Christian, but we'll be glad to talk to you about that if you're interested. Brethren, you can hear what's in this word. You can believe it with all your heart. You can want to change your life to repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus as the Son of God. And we can immerse you in water today if you understand that. And that's what you want to do. You can become a New Testament Christian today. Most of you are. I want to ask us today. We've talked about something that we said, if we do not do, we are not pleasing to God. Maybe this is an opportunity that you realize that you've not been pleasing to God in what it is that you do, whether it be at work or just anything in life in general. We have an opportunity right now to make that right with the Almighty. God says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, you can walk down that aisle and you can confess if there's something wrong in your life keeping you apart from God, and you can be once again in a right relationship. Brethren, if we can help you this morning, please come while we stand and while we sing.